This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Saturday show here. The phones are open. You can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online. Just head on over to freetalklive.com.
Throwing up the horns.
And enjoy the features you'll find there. We do have our own social media platform. You can go to social.freetalklive.com. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners there and some of the hosts of the show. That's social.freetalklive.com. We run the server. That means we set the rules. And the rules are that, well, there aren't very many of them. Rule number one is don't snitch. If you don't like somebody, just block them. I don't care what you like about them. And rule number two is no spamming. That's pretty much the only rules. Don't make us come up with a third one, okay? Just go to, be respectful if you can, but go to social.freetalklive.com.
If I post a link to a page where I'm selling actual cans of spam, is that spam?
If you do it once, probably not. But if it's your first post when you join the forum, that I think would qualify as spam. Right. Yeah.
So just because I think it's hilarious and people often don't know, the reason that it's called spamming, there's an old Monty Python bit where, like, there's these people trying
to talk, and
they start singing louder and louder about spam.
I love it!
Which is what happens when you just get message after message after message.
I'll have eggs, bacon, sausage, and spam.
Yeah, it's great.
We're going to go to the phones here, and then Peakless Mountaineer, you have a retraction to make based on something you apparently talked about last
Sunday.
So we'll get into that coming up here and talk first, though, to Tim, who I believe is actually here this time. Tim in Florida?
Hey. Yep, I'm here.
We got you. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I wanted to bring it back to Twitter. I actually came in, I think, at the end of a conversation about Twitter, and I heard you were talking about some spoof, What is a Man?
Yeah, apparently the Babylon Bee has a full-on feature-length documentary.
99-minute documentary.
And Captain recommends it.
Hey, I'll check it out. I haven't even checked out the What is a Woman yet, but...
Yeah, me neither. But I watched this parody documentary, and, well, I just have to say watch it, and let me know what you think later.
I will. The reason I actually called was because, all this business with... Ben Shapiro and Elon Musk and all that.
You know, I don't know what you're referring to. What's the business with them?
Well, What is a Woman apparently is something that was posted. I think it's by the same outfit that Ben Shapiro is involved with or runs on his media outlet.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the guy that made this movie is a ultra right-wing conservative named Matt Walsh.
Thank you.
Correct.
And he is just absolutely awful as far as, like, being a human being. But, you know, I got to say, the documentary looks like it could be interesting. I think I saw some preview for it months ago. I haven't really seen anything in the – I saw the hubbub about it, I guess. Yeah. I guess it was, like, blocked by some staff at Twitter, and then Elon Musk unblocked it and then made a post about it or something.
They made a deal. They made a deal beforehand that, yes, he was going to allow it. And then after they posted it, apparently they got a message that said, hey, you know, after we reviewed this, you need to change X, Y, and Z. Otherwise, we're not going to allow you to post it. And the thing that piqued my interest was when I'm going through my podcast today and I see Ben Shapiro and the title is Elon Musk Saves Free Speech Again.
Oh, God.
No. Yeah. No, he didn't. The only reason... he backtracked is because it's Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh. It's only because they're so big and there is shadow banning still going on.
Sure.
There are people being blocked for sure.
Yeah, Twitter hasn't really changed that much. Yeah. I mean, I think it has gone in a more positive direction since Elon Musk took it over, but he's not the free speech hero he wants you to believe that he is. And, you know, for instance, he won't even let Alex Jones back on the platform because he doesn't like what Alex Jones said about children. Yep. Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing about freedom, though. Like, in order for you to be free, others must also be free. This includes things you don't like, people. This includes things you don't like.
That's literally the only purpose of freedom of speech, is so that people can say things that aren't popular.
You can't say you're a free speech absolutist in one breath, and then in the other breath make excuses for why Alex Jones isn't allowed on your supposed free speech platform.
And to your point, Peakless, yes, you're absolutely right. Popular speech doesn't need protection.
Exactly.
Because it's popular.
Yeah, there's very much a thing happening in big tech that is very similar to what happens in politics, where, Zuckerberg is terrible, which means Elon is awesome. And no, two things can be true. They can both be controlling a-holes.
Yeah. Well, so apparently the FBI is still in Twitter. That never stops.
Of course.
Right.
That I was trying to turn you on to The Last American Vagabond last week. That's where I'm getting a lot of this information is, you know, and a lot of it is circumstantial, and the guy even admits that, David Christian. But, yeah, he's showing some really weird things going on with Twitter where certain subjects are just being blocked regarding Ukraine, regarding even still with COVID.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's not over.
So what you're saying is you don't believe that if this movie were made by some lesser-known creators, people that don't have, you know, 500,000 views or 500,000 followers or whatever, if it were made by someone with 5,000 followers, then it would have just simply been blocked, and that would have been the end of the story.
Yeah, with no explanation. Mm-hmm. Yep, with no explanation. I mean, you know, but
I wouldn't be surprised if that's happening right now. You know, there's somebody with 50 followers that made his own, you know, documentary about something, and it just rubbed somebody the wrong way, and they're like, nope, squashed.
Yep. All right, Tim.
And just as with politics, the secret is to not vote Republican or Democrat. Similarly, the secret is to get out of these controlled systems. Stop putting your time and energy into both Facebook and Twitter.
Thank you, Tim, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. So you have a retraction or correction of some sort to make, Peakless. What happened on Sunday night?
Yeah, so and this sort of thing does happen when you're just, you know, dealing with too much information. So I kind of mentally swapped two different dates. So I had announced on Sunday that the secured overnight funding rate, which is the American decision on what the day-to-day interest rates for the world will be, taking over for the London Interbank Overnight Rate, LIBOR rate. Now, I had said that was happening on the first of this month. It actually happens at the end of this month. So the end of this month will be the last day of the London rate existing. So, financial apocalypse, maybe. It's very much a financial Y2K. It's possible that the quadrillion dollars of contracts that are all determined on the day-to-day rate of the overnight London rate, maybe they've already figured this out and already put things in place to make sure that the American rate will function just as well. Or maybe they didn't, and a quadrillion dollars worth of contracts are about to go haywire.
What would that mean for them to go haywire?
We're looking at all sorts of possibilities.
Rates going up on people's loans or something?
Well,
or what?
So one of the things that very much seems to be waiting in the wings for us is a what's called a credit crunch. So you know how they've been, you know, hiking the rate.
The Federal Reserve.
Yes, the Federal Reserve rate.
And other central banks have been doing the same thing.
Right, yep. Yes. As far as I know, every bank throughout the world finally did sign on to hiking their rates to some degree or another. Now, that means that it's really, really hard for these businesses to get loans. And unfortunately, we've spent years where all of the rates were practically zero and in some cases less than zero. So we have a tremendous number of businesses that have no profitability whatsoever, that are they're zombie businesses. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the only reason they continue to exist, and as a result, certain people having jobs, is because they keep being able to get this easy money loaned to them so that they can pay their previous loans.
Mm-hmm.
So now that A, we have a much higher rate, and B, there's a lot closer scrutiny on what banks are doing because of the previous bank failures, a lot of banks are making it very, very difficult for businesses to get loans.
Right.
So there's a credit crunch that we are starting to see the effects of.
We heard a story, I think it was actually Professor St. Ange, Peter St. Ange, mm-hmm. who pointed this out, that there was like somebody who was creating a new housing development in New York City. And, like, you know, a reputable guy, firm or whatever, that has done this many times. And they went looking for financing, and they couldn't get it.
Right.
From, like, major banks that they've been able to do business with in the past. These people have a great reputation or whatever, and it just wasn't happening.
Yeah, and in ordinary circumstances, even if there's, something that makes it a little harder to get a loan, you'll just get a worse rate.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll still be able to get that loan, and your business won't go under completely. Whereas now...
But if you can't get the loan at all...
Right. Now there's all these zombie businesses that their ability to continue to shamble forward into the future is being cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's complicating the situation. So in 2008, we had this whole explosion due to people not paying their mortgages, right? Now we have this problem, only instead of it being houses, it's all of this commercial real estate,
right.
Which, as I've mentioned on this program, has two big differences. One is that they're much shorter term, and two is that there is this, so they'll have this small payment on the month-to-month,
mm-hmm.
and then this big bubble at the end.
The balloon?
Yes, the mm-hmm. balloon payment at the end where they pay most of the thing off. So when you
But if they can't pay it off.
Right. And that's the issue right there. Mm-hmm. So then you have, so they haven't been putting equity in this commercial mortgage.
And the reason they can't pay it off is because, you know, their shopping center's half empty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The building is half empty or whatever, right? Whatever commercial property we're talking about here, because people went out of business during COVID,
right.
Big time. And now you've got inflation that, of course, has been kicking up and making things much more difficult on these businesses. Not to mention they probably have their own loans and all that. There's all kinds of like circumstances that are just coming home to roost at some point.
Oh yeah, I mean we are seeing just a play by play of the disaster scenario that the Austrian economists warned us about. Where like, okay, if you want to pretend there isn't a recession, you can do this fake easy money thing, but it's essentially like drinking more when you have a hangover, and it's like,
well, that's
what they're
gonna do because they. They bailed out the government this week, right? The Senate and the House of Representatives
right.
went ahead and voted for the plan, and now I believe they're saying that the debt ceiling will be completely suspended until January of 2025.
Right.
So there's currently no debt ceiling.
Right.
I mean,
spend just as much as they feel like.
Has there ever really been one?
Just the illusion of one.
Yeah.
Well, yes
that's
and no.
That's the answer.
Well, so here's the thing. They
say the political one. Football. That's all it is.
Well, it's sort of like with the court system, right? Where like their job is not to actually do justice, but to not appear foolish. In the same way, their job is not to actually stick to the budgets that they set themselves, but appear like they're trying to.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's just a show,
right? Yeah. So the existence of this debt ceiling, gives them something. To like, okay, well, we shouldn't overshoot this by too much. But now that that's been suspended, there is no there's no target anymore.
Hyperinflation, here we come.
Right.
Yeah, how are they going to determine what it should be when it's reinitiated in January 2025?
Good question. Fortunately, they have degrees in this subject and are very knowledgeable wizards of the finance.
They're going to ask AI. Right. I'm just going to ask AI.
Yeah, so...
Okay, back to LIBOR and this SOFR thing. Yeah. So I've got a story here from Forbes, just sort of a general piece. I'm not going to read through the whole thing because it's probably just too boring. But, you know, what is LIBOR and why is it being abandoned? And at the very end, it does say if you have an adjustable rate loan, which a lot of people have these adjustable rate mortgages, for instance.
An ARM.
They say, check to see if it's based on the LIBOR rate. Mm-hmm. If it is, you need to find out what index your lender will be switching to. Because apparently there's more than just the SOFR or SOFR thing. There's other indexes that they might be choosing. But that could result in what they say is a higher base rate in the future. So you may see a jump in your mortgage payments potentially within the next month or two, right?
Absolutely. And
how big of a jump is really the question.
Good question. Well, and honestly, I'm not going to shed any tears for these people. If you didn't learn not to get an adjustable rate mortgage after 2008, I have no pity for you.
Well, I mean, there are people who don't even know what a mortgage is, much less an adjustable rate mortgage.
Okay, then don't sign a contract that you don't understand.
Okay.
I mean...
I'm with you.
When the devil shows up and says, you just need to prick your finger and sign
some
here.
Some people only learn by experience, and so, you know.
Yeah.
I'll give you a one-time break.
Yeah.
And if you didn't buy a house, you know, before 2008 and you bought one after 2008, you get one shot.
Well, you are far more forgiving than I. Because, look, if
I've been learning about forgiveness recently.
We had this global meltdown, and this was the cause of it. Not only actually, but officially.
Yeah.
This was the cause of it. And if you were alive enough to be conscious during that, and then you did it again, like you did that very thing that both actually and officially caused this... I have no sympathy for you at that point.
Yeah, it's like the kid who burned his hand twice on the stove.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You burned your hand, and then you're like, but it's still so glowy and shiny.
Oh, yeah. Keep in mind, the same a-holes who were responsible for 2008 are still around and still functioning. They're known as the Federal Reserve and also any other central bank on planet Earth. And then all of the other banks that exist underneath them are also very complicit in all this stuff. And keep in mind that when 2008 happened, the only person who suffered any consequence at all, and believe me, this person didn't cause the whole thing, was Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
He was just the scapegoat for 2008. If you look at read Matt Taibbi's article about everything's effed and no one goes to jail that he wrote for Time magazine as long before he was appointed by Twitter as like the guy to write about the Twitter files. His article goes into great detail about who is actually responsible for the financial collapse of 2008, and none of those people were even remotely investigated, much less prosecuted and thrown in jail.
Yeah, this is the time when all of the financial chickens are coming home to roost. Like, yeah, after 2008, they didn't change anything.
There's some young kid listening to this right now going, but that's so old. That was like 15 years ago.
Right.
Right.
Because when I was a kid, too, like, I'd hear older people talk about stuff like, well, back in 1968, the such and such happened. I'd be like, yeah, but that's so old. That's not now.
I mean, I'm not talking about 1897, which is actually what we're going through, but.
So the SOFR thing, secured overnight financing rate, apparently that's a Federal Reserve
yeah.
thing. And I've got the graph of it here. It looks like it's just basically tied right into whatever their current rate is of interest, because it's currently set at 5.08%.
Yeah.
And you can see on the chart, it's like a step up, a step up, a step up, a bunch of step ups over the last roughly 1 year. And
yeah.
that's just corresponding to them raising the rate.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically what this is the gangland war is starting to spill onto the streets, as it were. So there's been this fight over who gets to control the money, and while the Fed has had most of the control of the U.S. dollar, Europe has had a certain amount of what they call the euro dollar, which is just not on U.S. shores, but still still denominated in dollars. So they still had this tremendous amount of their own power over the financial market of the world. And that is no longer so.
Huh.
So, like, they have been fighting this out and fighting this out, and now this is just the next level of, okay, well, looks like the Fed won that battle. And the shift over to acknowledging that the American banking system gets to control things may or may not blow the entire thing up.
Well, according to, at the very least, the rates, they look very similar. The LIBOR rate, according to some website out there, FedPrimeRate.com, is just over 5% as well. So it's, at least at the moment,
yeah,
pretty close.
Yeah, and that's part of the thing. We don't know what will happen or when, because they are simply calculated in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So things that were perfectly functional under, you know, whatever Byzantine way they calculated overnight rates in London may no longer function if it's just set to the American rate.
It's exactly the same way they do in the U.S. It's just got a useless E at the end of it.
Shopee.
Shopee.
What I had gotten mixed up with was that the FedNow program started on the 1st.
That's the groundwork.
Yeah, that is, it's as much of the CBDC as they can do.
Without having an authorization for a CBDC.
From Congress, yes,
right.
Exactly.
FedNow is a bank-to-bank or a interbank communication method. So instead of being able to send a ACH or a wire transfer, you, in theory, will be able soon at some point to use FedNow.
Oh, no, it started. It started the 1st.
Well, that doesn't mean every bank signed on to it, right?
Yeah, no, this is, it's
J.P. Morgan's probably doing it, or, you know, PNC or these biggies, but
I forget who it was, but yeah, it was just a few banks that this one's going to.
Yeah, your local bank probably not right away.
Yeah, your local bank almost certainly isn't in on this. It's just a handful of them so far, but it's just that next step. And of course, when they start doing these things, they don't know how the market's going to respond, and they don't know how their own system is going to interact with what does exist.
Mm.
So there was a risk factor there, but nowhere near what I'm expecting at the end of this month.
Mm.
Which, again, it's Y2K, right? Maybe they did their planning properly, and people will be able to afford the new rate. Maybe it'll even be easier to afford the new rate. Or all of this could just tumble down like a house of cards.
Just to clarify for our listeners who, you know, might have been born after Y2K, the year 2000,
good point.
The year 2000, there was this big scare amongst all of technology, whether or not the year would flip over, like an odometer on your car when it gets to a million or whatever it is, it goes back to zero.
Because some computers only had enough data or bits or whatever to calculate a two-digit year instead of a four-digit year.
Right.
They had to fix some stuff before that happened.
Right. And, like, a lot of people were employed. I remember the company that I worked for was a tech company, and, like, they hired extra staff.
Yeah,
they had extra developers.
Concern.
Like, people were pulling overtime. I was doing extra work because of it.
Because the big concern was that, you know, your programs are going to think it's 1900
right.
when it goes from 1999 to the next 00, and that was what they had to fix.
And I just want to reiterate, the way to get out of this dangerous situation is to get out of their system.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to do that is with, on the one hand, gold and silver, and on the other hand, cryptocurrency. Get that Bitcoin, get that Monero, get that Dash. The only wrong amount is zero. Get out of their system, and then this kind of nonsense and poor planning
won't
affect
you. I mean, if it affects the whole economy, it might make life a little more difficult.
Well,
but,
and it might make ours a lot easier, since we have the good money.
Indeed. There's more coming up here. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160 and bring up whatever you want on Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
USA News Update. The White House says President Biden signed a bill into law Saturday extending the nation's debt ceiling. The budget agreement raises the federal debt limit ahead of the June 5th deadline and keeps the U.S. from defaulting on its debt. The death toll is approaching 300 in India, where two passenger trains derailed in one of the country's worst rail disasters. Officials have called off the search and rescue efforts. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says the U.S. will not stand for China throwing its weight around in the region. Austin saying at a conference, quote, "We don't seek conflict or confrontation, but we will not flinch in the face of bullying or coercion." Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is on pace to top the box office in its debut weekend, making more than $110 million. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This number, 603-283-6160. We get you on the air. You can talk about whatever's on your mind. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about some economic stuff, as we tend to do on Saturday nights. Peakless Mountaineer pays pretty close attention to a lot of this stuff, and definitely appreciate the expertise here. We're going to get into a little bit more about that, but also, since we were talking about getting good money to replace the bad money being the state money, the government-run systems, the dollars, the euros, the Zimbabwe notes, the whatever, you know.
Hey, do you remember when you signed a thing that said you would only and always exclusively use the U.S. dollar?
No. Oh, me neither.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Me neither.
Yeah, weird, huh?
Wouldn't you know? Yeah, all these government S coins.
But there are alternatives, and you mentioned a few of them, Peakless, like cryptocurrency, gold and silver. And I was made aware, I think within the last 24 or 48 hours, that Defy the Grid, which is a very popular, they're not an advertiser, but they are a very popular method of buying the gold back, which we're big fans of here on Free Talk Live. We've talked a lot about these very beautiful 1/1000th of an ounce pieces. I don't know what you call them, not bills, right? They're you know, just, they look kind of like they might be a bill or something like that. They fit in your wallet. Pieces of gold, yeah. Very flat, very beautiful artwork on them. They're tradable, they're interchangeable, they're different
super
denominations. 1/1000th of an ounce is the smallest one, and they've got different states with different designs on them. If you haven't seen the Goldback before, you got to go to goldback.com and check them out. They're incredibly gorgeous. But Defy the Grid is one of the, you know, dozens of gold and silver retailers, yeah, online that will sell you these things. And they're sort of known for being the cheapest, generally. Like, they tend to have some of the best rates.
I have purchased from them because their rate was better than another place.
Yeah.
And in fact, our sometimes fill-in host on Sundays, Steve Classic, and another occasional fill-in host, Steve Kahuna, both turned me on to Defy the Grid. You know, like, I was just asking around for people, and both of those guys mentioned the same place. I'm like, well, if two people that I know agree on this place, I'll go check it out. And I was
happy with it.
I was happy because they take crypto.
Well, now here's the news. They're now taking Dash.
That's big news.
Yeah, it is big news, because to me, it's like the perfect combo. I mean, I've always said that crypto and gold, or gold back specifically, are the best combination for people that love the idea of alternative currency to the scum money like the dollar.
This news actually solves a problem that I ran into with Defy the Grid. I placed an order for some gold backs, and I paid in Bitcoin.
Oof.
During the big mempool.
The spike.
Just, you know, like last month or whatever it was.
People were waiting a week for transactions to confirm.
And so Defy the Grid has this system where when you pay by Bitcoin, it gives you this sort of a timer.
Yeah, it's pretty typical.
And it's pretty, I think it's like a four-hour window or something like that waits for the confirmation.
Wasn't long enough, though, was it?
No, it wasn't long enough. And so,
jeez.
So like, I didn't get the requisite, hey, we've received your order, and it'll be processed in X. I didn't get that. I waited a day or so to, you know, let the mempool clear out and see if anything would trigger, and nothing happened. I sent an email to their support team. Bam. Like, I mean, an hour later, I got an email back saying, oh, yeah, hey, we see the order. You know, the crypto thing was delayed. We don't know why they weren't aware or they didn't want to go into detail.
The average merchant doesn't know what the hell's going on with the Bitcoin network. They just know it isn't working right.
But they did say, hey, we were able to see the transaction. Thanks for the information.
Yeah.
We're sending it out today. You know, so they took care of it. The customer service was great. But Dash now being available at Defy the Grid solves that problem. And also, you're not going to pay the expensive Bitcoin fee.
Yeah, right, because Dash has a fee of less than a cent per transaction. Bitcoin fees, when I checked a few days ago, were like $2 per transaction. The median fee was $2 per transaction. And if you don't go high enough, you may be waiting for days before the Bitcoin transaction gets confirmed. And if you take Bitcoin in as a retailer and you don't have that first confirmation, the person who sent the amount could cancel the transaction on you.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly risky to send out a product before you get that first confirmation. So, I mean, the fact that they did that for you is really going above and beyond.
They did indeed receive the confirmation, because this was, again, like a day later. So, like,
well, some people were waiting 7 days, Captain. I mean, there were some people, Jay Noon, our Thursday night co-host, he waited 7 days before he got a confirmation. I think Mark Edge was waiting 9 days before they got a confirmation.
No, it went through, the transaction itself had two or three confirmations within 24 hours, and then the rest of them came through. So they were able to just base their shipping on the fact that they got at least one confirmation and saw the order, saw that I was a repeat customer, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of these problems are why I'm a big proponent of the technology being built on top of that. Things like the Lightning Network, and there's a new project coming out that's very, very interesting so far called ARC. So the technologies that are being built on top of Bitcoin, I think, are going to be the solutions for these problems.
Yeah, but they've been saying that about Lightning for years and years. It's always, oh, yeah, it's 18 months away, and then it's never here. And you know, Lightning, I got to say,
still in development.
Almost no one that I know is excited about
Dash just about works.
Well, that's called an echo chamber, Ian.
No, it's called, I'm quite connected with people in the crypto community who aren't a bunch of Bitcoin maximalists, and people who actually like to use crypto, none of them are using Lightning. It's just not, look, it's more complicated. You know, when you, like you said, when Dash, it works, right? You want to send your transaction, you get the address, you send, boom, it's done.
And I think
with Lightning, you got to like open up a channel, and that means you have to front the money that you may end up spending later on in order to open the channel. Don't forget you have to send an on-chain transaction in order to do that. Or you can just use one of the centralized Lightning services, which is, of course, what they're actually pushing people towards, which is greater centralization. So I think there's a lot of real problems with the idea behind the Lightning network. Plus, it's funded by the banks, so don't trust it.
And as cryptocurrency becomes more valuable, we're going to run into a lot of these same problems on other chains and on other coins. So I think that a lot of the technology being developed right now on Bitcoin, where it is the most problematic, is going to end up being transferred into the other coins and adapted as their layer twos.
There may likely be, in my opinion, some homogenization occurring amongst cryptocurrencies, and that's great, because right now we have a whole bunch of different competing cryptocurrencies, and whoever has the best features, wins. And for spendability, I think Dash wins hands down.
You don't have to wait for some future technology. You've got it right now. You've got Chainlock's technology to protect you from the 51% attack, the dreaded 51% attack, which you talked about last week. If you want to hear a lot more about Dash, go check out our Saturday show from last week, and we had a guy, Ryan, on the line with us from the Dash incubator. But there's no need to wait for a confirmation, because Dash is irreversible. They did not put that feature into Dash. That's a Bitcoin problem. And again, super low fees. So you send the Dash transaction, it's a done deal. Go to Dash.org to learn more about Dash. And big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. And again, now you can buy your gold backs with Dash over at Defy the Grid, which is just a killer combo. Visit Dash.org.
And I got to say, I'm most excited as far as non-Bitcoin chains go with the privacy technologies that they have. Like we briefly mentioned on that show, that there was a sort of a Bitcoin mixer idea, but it didn't have the same vulnerabilities as Bitcoin's mixers do, built directly into the way that that verifications happen on the Dash chain.
The Dash protocol has a mixer.
Monero, of course, being like the gold standard, so to speak, privacy. Zcash seems to be moving in a good direction with privacy. Personally, I know I'm a weirdo on this. I'm still like holding out hope for some popularity in Pirate Chain. ARRR.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool name,
and it's really well made. Like I've looked into how they built this, and like that is the way I would want a privacy chain built. But there's no excitement about it yet. So.
It had some. I mean, I think Pirate Chain went up to over $10 at one point. It's now, I believe, less than 50 cents.
Yep.
At least that's what somebody told me recently.
Yeah, but, I haven't been paying attention to it.
Captain, since we're talking about privacy stuff, you had a website that you'd heard about. Now, you haven't tried this yet.
I have not.
Okay, so this isn't... They're not a sponsor. We don't know whether they're going to be good or bad or what. Your mileage may vary here, but it's a cool concept. And we've talked to you about Purse before.
Yeah.
SaveItPurse.com allows you to buy things on Amazon with Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. They've been around for several years now, and it's been a pretty successful site. They almost went out of business. I think Roger Ver saved them or something like that. I forget exactly how that went down a few years ago. But they're still around, and it's a useful service that seems, from what I understand from people talking to me about it, seems to have slowed down in recent months. Maybe it's just due to crypto winter.
I made a purchase recently on it, and it was a heavy item, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that was going to cost extra, or not cost,
shipping.
But like
a lot of
shipping. It came in like a wooden crate, that kind of thing. And I used Purse for that because, well, I wanted to save some bucks.
Yeah.
And it did it.
What'd you save?
15%.
Okay. All right. That's good.
And it was we'll call it a $1,000 item, that kind of a thing. So you do the math, that's a significant savings. So somehow, I've been following a couple of different, Monero people. I don't know if they're directly working for Monero, but they're at least, evangelists or,
I suspect no one works for Monero. It's just, open source programming. So
yeah, it's, Twitter people that, have the Monero logo and that kind of a thing in their profiles.
Yeah, they're just fanatics.
Someone posted a link to, and I don't get paid for any of this. Right. I just noticed it, and I haven't used it either, so I can't tell you if it's safe or it works, but anonshop.app has a website where you can go to that you can spend Monero anonymously to buy stuff.
Ooh.
100% anonymous purchasing. So for, let's say you want to buy something on Amazon, but you want to be anonymous about it. Basically what you do is you go to their website, you post a link of the thing you want to buy. They go, okay, it's going to be this much. You send them the Monero, they make the purchase for you, and then they'll deliver it to what's called an Amazon locker. Now, Ian,
I had no idea these existed.
You hadn't heard of this.
Amazon locker?
Amazon locker, yeah. These things exist all over the Seattle area, of course, so I'm very familiar with them. Basically, instead of having it shipped to your door, if you're like downtown, but you live like an hour away or in another city or something, you can order something from Amazon. They'll ship it to a locker. And then you can just go to that locker. They give you a code on your app or on your phone, and you go to you punch in the code, the door opens, and you get your stuff.
Nice.
So they can do this anonymously with Monero. So you plug in a URL of something you want to buy on Amazon. They go, yep, it's this much. You send them the Monero. They go ahead and order the thing and ship it to an Amazon locker and give you the code to go pick it up. You don't have to provide any ID of any kind. You don't have to tell them your name. You don't have to tell them your address, your zip code, nothing. It's just all done anonymously according to their website.
That's awesome.
They do, of course, have options for you to ship to your home and that kind of a thing as well. If you don't really care, they'll give you a discount. I think it's an 8% discount if you ship something to your home instead of doing it anonymously. And they have some other thing that they do. I can't remember what it is.
Whoa, you get a discount for buying something? Hold on. You mean, is it a discount on the fee they would normally charge you on top for this? Because, I mean, if you're going with anonymity, you normally don't get discounts. You usually pay more.
So,
No.
Hang on. Let me clarify.
Okay.
The anonymous one, no discount.
Oh, okay.
If you're shipping to your home address, they'll give you an 8% discount.
But is the discount, just to clarify,
up to an 8%?
Do they have
discount.
a 10% fee or something that they charge, and then you save 8% on that? Or is it that you save 8% on the purchase price?
8% on the order.
Hmm.
How the hell can they do that?
I assume it's just like purse.
Purse?
Yeah, I was going to say, my assumption is that they do it the same way as purse.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the neat things about...
this reminded me exactly of purse, except for with even more anonymity. Now, if privacy is important to you and you need to buy goods and you have some Monero, why, this might be a thing for you to look into.
Yeah, and one of the great things about embracing cryptocurrency as a technology is that I know it's volatile and that scares lots of people, but it also means that you can actually offer a discount, hold it in whatever cryptocurrency that is, assuming you've picked a good one, and eventually that volatility will go over the price by the amount that you need to make this worth your time, then sell it at that level. And you've made yourself some money, and you've been able to save your customer some money.
So their third option is a little bit sort of in between the two. So the completely anonymous one is to have it delivered to an Amazon locker, and you don't have to give a name, you don't have to give an address, you don't have to get anything, right?
That's crazy.
No ID, nothing like that. And you can just go get your stuff, which I think is pretty sweet. But the third thing that they do is...
Presumably you're going to be SOL when it comes to returns, though, right?
I don't know about that, because even Amazon has... what they call gift shipments, right? So they ship you whatever it is. And I got one of these from Purse one time where it was like, this is, and it had a gift receipt.
All Purse purchases are gifts.
Yeah. So so I could definitely return it. And I know somebody that has received something via Purse where they had to go through the Amazon returns thing.
Right. There is
a
procedure.
A gift, and he said it was flawless.
Mm. interesting.
So,
yeah, you might, I mean, in theory, you might be able to get the best of both worlds on this, because you can, I mean, the thing about these cryptocurrencies is you can prove that you have access to this wallet. Mm-hmm. Like, you can just make a little signature if you're like, hey, I bought this, and they're like, well, how do I know it's you? You can just do a little signature, and oh, that proves that you have access to this wallet that I got that payment from.
Well, no, they don't even go that far. Like, you know, Amazon ships you a thing, they give you a gift receipt, and if you got to return it for whatever reason, they're just like, okay, here's a gift card.
Huh.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
So anyway, the third thing that they do is something called package forwarding. If you want to hide your name and address from an online retailer, you can use this option. We order the item to us, mm-hmm. and then we ship the item to you. This way, no one knows what you bought except for a non-shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do charge 8% on top of your order.
Seems reasonable.
For this service, yeah. But...
A reship, basically.
Yeah, it's basically
a reship. I wonder if they're in New Hampshire.
I don't know. I haven't gone that far into looking at it, but... I just found out about this maybe 2 days ago, and so I haven't used it. I haven't looked into it. If anybody is listening has used this, please give us a call, 603-283-6160. I'd love to know that it works, that you've had success with it, all that kind of thing. Otherwise, you know, I might just bite the bullet and try it, you know, buy something small and see what happens.
Right.
Yeah, if they're not in New Hampshire, then you're going to have to pay sales tax on a reship. That would be the only downside of that.
That's a good. Well, yeah. I mean, not if nobody knows about it.
No, because Amazon will charge the sales tax. So if
if it's shipped to your
if it's shipping somewhere outside of New Hampshire where there's sales tax, then you're going to have to pay for that. So that would be an extra fee. In that case, just keep in mind.
I'm just glad to see this kind of development in privacy.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, just like you were talking about, I believe it was you and Chris talking about Molvad, who had the police had shown up in Sweden, and Molvad showed them, yeah, we don't keep any records of anyone.
Right.
And the police left. Like, and as far as I know, Molvad's the only way that I know of that you can set up a completely anonymous VPN.
Now, this is what excites
me. This is a Swedish VPN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what excites me, not necessarily about this particular website, anonshop.com, but about this type of thing.
Was it .com?
No, .app.
Okay.
Sorry.
Be careful out there, because if you get the wrong URL, you might end up on a scam site.
Anonshop.app.
And again, you haven't used this.
Yeah,
we haven't used
I
this.
Misspoke.
We have no idea.
Anonshop.app might be the scam site.
Yeah, we have no idea.
It's entirely
possible.
They may take
your Monero and run. So.
I have no idea.
But hey, the fact that they're even scamming by appealing to our desire for privacy is kind of cool.
What I love about things like this, particularly from a privacy perspective, but also from just a cryptocurrency perspective and it being real money. You and I have talked about this, Peakless, but cryptocurrency keeps finding a way. Mm-hmm. It keeps finding a way to bridge between all of the things that people want and they want to do and they want to get done, all the products and services. In the same way, the Internet sort of came and gobbled up all of the businesses, right? I'm looking at you, newspapers. Thinking of you, Craigslist.
Right.
In the same way that Craigslist ate newspapers, cryptocurrency will eat state money and is continuing to do so, and when it finds ways like this to provide people with what they want, the market finds a way, the market will win. Cryptocurrency is doing things that state-based money, i.e. the U.S. dollar, can never do. State-based money can't do stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things that that I think is extremely exciting right now, this whole, I mean, it is admittedly a little scary, but the whole AI thing that's getting developed is a potential for an extraordinary increase in just general productivity, right? So, like, if you think, like, imagine that it's been, like, raining, right? But it's just been, like, a little drizzle. So, like, you go out there with your colander, you can collect some rainwater, not very much, but there's enough that sticks to the side. You come back in and pour out a few drops. Mm-hmm. You go out, you collect a little bit on it, and you pour it out. Now, If, on the other hand, you have a bucket, you can collect more, but not a huge amount more, because it's just a drizzle. Now, with AI and that sort of increase of productivity, we're talking about moving to a monsoon here. So the fact that you're using a colander, because you're using fiat currency, it's got a bunch of holes in it, there's this productivity that leaks off to the government, means that you will be at such a severe disadvantage to the guy who walks out with a bucket, like your cryptocurrency and your gold.
Nice analogy.
Right. That just steps out, gets a bucket load of this, and they've got this huge amount more wealth than you did because you were using a currency that had holes in it.
You want to see the value of cryptocurrencies moon, right? Like so many crypto bros, mm-hmm. you know, oh, I'm going to Lambo and like to the moon and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
The way that that's going to happen, in my opinion, is when AI adopts cryptocurrency, because AIs are going to have to talk to each other,
mm-hmm.
and AIs are going to have to deal with each other. And by deal, I mean transact. I mean negotiate and make contracts or smart contracts and these types of things. And what currency do you think AI is going to use? Do you think it's going to use the USD? Do you think it's going to use central bank digital currencies known as CBDCs?
Mm-hmm.
Do those offer less friction? No, they offer far more friction, more bureaucracy, more hoops. An AI is not a person, so it can't sign up for a bank account. But an AI can own a crypto wallet.
Sure can.
And it can transact with other AIs via cryptocurrency quickly.
The question is, has this happened yet?
Well, we don't know.
Right. Well, it may have.
It may have.
I think we're to the point where it could have already happened.
Yeah, and one of the big things that's happening right now is like, okay, so there's only so much access to this technology that exists, but that amount is growing and spreading. Like people are getting greater and greater access to AI technology. Open source code AI technologies are actually getting higher and higher levels of development.
Yeah.
So you're going, you're going to have some AIs that attempt to use central bank digital currencies, that try to use Visa and MasterCard.
Oh, there will be the big tech AIs that will absolutely have their claws into, and vice versa, the central bank digital currency.
But they're going to have to compete with AIs that have their options open.
Right.
So there are going to be some AIs that, sure, they tried Visa and MasterCard, and they tried all your fiat currencies, and they tried your central bank digital currency, but, man, it's so inefficient.
I hate feeling like a broken record, but I've said it before, I'll say it again. The most underrated feature of cryptocurrency is that it does not require you to be a human being to use it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas USD, any other state-based currency, requires you to be a human being.
You've got to pass Know Your Customer to get into those. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, and one thing that I personally absolutely adore about the AI thing and the fact that it's in all of the media and it's this big focus and people are like, oh, cryptocurrency, that's so passé. It's all about AI now. Great, because there's a lot of nonsense that happens when you're the hot new technology. There's just a lot of stupid human activity and scams and lies that get poured into the next big thing. And since I'm thoroughly convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that cryptocurrency still is the more important and bigger of the technologies, but the focus has been shifted, so a lot of that scammy nonsense is moving out of the cryptocurrency world and into the AI world.
Indeed, and we can talk more about that coming up. Speaking of the old money system, apparently this week the U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen admitted she was wrong about inflation. You almost never have that. Yeah, almost never does a government bureaucrat actually admit they were wrong about something. So we'll get her exact quote coming up here in a few moments. And, of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. The number is 603-283-6160. And I know, Peekless, you had wanted to talk about AI tonight here as well. More specifically, you had a story about AI and the aging crisis. And we'll find out what the aging crisis is here in a little bit as well. The number is 603-283-6160. Hour number 3 is on the way. You can join us here on Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com. You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.